So this morning I want to take some time to talk about the gifts of resurrection. The gifts, we've been giving a gift. Alright, and as a matter of fact, many gifts. I mean, just think about it, guys. Which one of you here, the Bible even actually said it. It says, which one of you here would give your dog to die for somebody else? To save someone's life. I know sometimes you might give your kidney. You might give, whatever part in your, whatever organ you could share with your loved one to keep them alive. We'll do it, right? Right? You know, and I know some of you, you might even be willing to die for your wife or your husband or your children. That's okay. But none of us would give our dog or anybody from our family to save the world. You know, that doesn't mean you bad person for that. It's normal. I wouldn't give any of my kids to save the world. They're mine. But God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. You know, and I know the message of the resurrection sometimes can be so overwhelmed. You know, he is risen. What does that mean? But the gifts of, you know, this morning, Quinn read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But I want to focus on verse 12 to verse 20. This is what it says. It says, now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, something that you need to understand, Paul was making a case for future resurrection because at that time, I don't know if maybe there are people right now who thinks, well, there is no resurrection. Once you're dead, you're dead. Or I know some people might even think, well, you know, maybe when you die, you end up being a camel, you know, at the next life, you know. Or you're a cute little dog. You know, I want to be a cute little dog in the next life. I tell you, that's the worst thing ever. You know, there is a next life. There is eternal life. It's either being living eternally in hell or living eternally in God's embrace, in paradise. You see, God made a way for everybody to take advantage of eternal life. Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you are saying there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. This week, I thought a lot about that. Our preaching is useless. That's what it says. You know, one of the, you know, for the rest of the year, I'm going to try. I get excited. Today, I know it's Easter. Some of you, I want to release you early so you could go have a good time. But I don't promise that. I told Kendra, I was like, honey, I want to preach for 25 minutes. Don't put it down, all right? But seriously, guys, our message, the kingdom message is real because our king died and rose again. Every religion on earth, there's a lot of them. Jesus Christ is the only king, is the only God who came, lived, walked this earth. Let me tell you this. He understands you. Jesus understands me. When I'm mad or when life is just terrible. And I am so thankful that my preaching is not vain. This week, again, is a reminder. I'm going to keep preaching the word. You know why? Because it's not vain. Jesus rose from the dead. You know? Let's keep reading. It says, because we testify of God that he raised Christ, we are even found to be misrepresenting God. Because we testify of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we are I see Paul proclaiming the good news that the resurrection is real. Not only that, but also the resurrection satisfies some of our longings. We have longings. We have needs. And everything else in this world, you can try everything else. Nothing in this world can satisfy your needs. Man, guys, just think with me for a minute. The newest thing that just came out. That's why sometimes I'm like, you know what? I don't need it. I'm not buying it. We go crazy for this new thing that just came out. You know, and we go in debt for it. Or maybe God, you had enough discipline, you save and you bought it. And you think, man, once I buy this thing, and sometimes you even, I don't know about you, but this is how I deal with it. You know, I even think, oh, man, once I'm driving this car, man, you know, 40 miles to the gallon, hybrid. Oh, man, I even test drove it. I'm laying down and I'm thinking. You think, man, I'm going to feel so cool. I mean, there's this longing inside of me that's going to be satisfied. You know, you're going to buy this watch. You're going to buy this house. You're gonna buy this. You're gonna go in on this trip. And then you've done it. It left you empty. The reason is, nothing in this world can satisfy that longing we have in our hearts. You know, like, man, I love this boy. I love this woman. I'm going to marry her. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. It's going to be great. Bing! Before you know it, man, you really don't like each other. And you realize, man, I thought she was going to satisfy all my longings. I thought he was it. And then you realize, he's not it. Let me remind you of something you've already known. Jesus Christ is it. And blessed are those who knows it right now. And I know Jesus is it. You know, that's, I don't know if you had time to listen to this, the song Becky sing. I died for you. I'll do it again. Just think about it. Jesus said, I give it all for you. God is saying, I die for you. I give my son. I'll do it again. I would do it again. In my prayer all week during Easter, I'm like, God, give people a revelation for them to understand that it's not your judgment that's leading them to repentance. It's the love of God that leads us to repentance. When you understand how much God loves you, see, we don't know how to love outside of God. God loves us unconditionally. There is nothing you can do. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a certain form. You don't have to speak any way. God loves you the way you are. Can you accept that? See, the world doesn't function that way. That's the good news. The gifts of the resurrection satisfy all of our longings. What are some of your longings today? You know, by the way, I think everybody that went to St. James Missionary Church Friday with us, thank you so much for, I know some of you couldn't make it, but, you know, I think that was very neat for them to invite us. A lot of other pastors were together, and you know, some of us were there, and I like that, you know. Nothing in this world will satisfy our longings. This morning, what are some of your longings? What are some things you're in need for? See, my prayer this morning is that we would feel or we would receive a revelation to understand only Christ can satisfy your longing. Well, let's try something people do a lot here. Not only here, other places too, not just here. People drink a lot. Alcohol. Or they take drugs. You know? Take drugs. You're not feeling good. You're feeling depressed. And you think, well, I gotta maybe smoke marijuana or smoke some kind of drug that makes the pain goes away. But then I give you 8 hours after that. What happened? You know, they're all thinking, well, pornography. Or let's go to the bar. Or let's go party here and do that and do this and that. And then after that, what happened? My prayer this morning is that in your heart, you would see that the risen Christ, Jesus Christ, he paid the price so you could be satisfied, so your longings could be fulfilled. Now, those longings, I didn't make them up, okay? They came from the verse. It says in one of the verses in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ has not been raised, what would happen? If Christ has not been raised. You know, Paul says there are some things that would be in shambles. If Christ has not been raised, well, guess what? I might as well go drink and party and later we'll die. Right? That's what people think. Well, even drink, party, later you die. I mean, when you drink and party so hard, you actually shorten your life because you're killing your lungs. So you reducing your life spent on earth. The Bible says those that are most robust live to be 70 to 80. I mean, right now, if you're over 80, man, God bless you. Please, put a blessing over me, please. You know, life is not long. On earth, life is not long. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. But since Christ, I love this. But since Christ has been raised, our preaching is not in vain. Number two, if Christ has not been raised, we are found to be misrepresenting God. Literally, we are false witnesses. See, my prayer is that the church of Christ would receive a personal revelation. You cannot follow Christ on someone else's revelation. Each of us here needs our personal revelation of who Christ is. That's why if you're following somebody, when they fall, you're going to fall too. Don't follow me. I'm not Jesus. Of course, I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor here, so my life, I should be above reproach. My life should be an example in everything I do. But I face the same thing you guys face. I get mad sometimes. I don't want to forgive. But you know what I do? I forgive anyway. I choose. So don't let your walk with God depend on someone else. Because when they fall, then your eyes were never on them. Your spiritual life's going to be steadfast. Keep your eyes on Christ, because he's the one that died for you. Not a preacher, not your mentor, not your mom or dad. Jesus died. Number three, if Christ has not been raised, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. I mean, how many of us here have loved ones that have passed? You know, we still, you know, we live with hope. I'm not afraid of death. As a matter of fact, all of us will die. Someday, sooner or later. But you know what? Jesus says, hey, death, where is your sting? Death. Okay, where's the thing that's causing you to cause people to be afraid? Jesus said, I took it. You know, the wages of sin is death. So therefore, death was birthed through sin. Jesus came and said, okay, enough. I give my sons and daughters, those who accepted me, I give them. That's what we did this morning. Communion. That's what Larry read. He's like, guys, Jesus said, when you take communion, be aware of the relationship with the bread and the blood. This is not just religion, something we do out of ritual. You know, once a month we do it. We do it to remember that Christ died on the cross for us. He rose again. And when we announce that, we're announcing that he's doing what? He's going to return. He's returning. He's coming back. Let me tell you, there is power in the blood. There is power in the resurrection to fulfill your longing. If Christ has not been raised, then we are all men. Then we are of all men to be pitied. But since Christ has been raised, we are not to be pitied. You should be excited. You know, you should be excited. Now, I want to do something with these verses. Is my slide going? Somehow my slide's not going, Xavier. Go to slide 6 for me. Starting the negative in positive term. But what really make the light for me this week in 1 Corinthians 14 is that when you change the order of the verse. Now, imagine, this is what it says. It says, I'm going to read it for you here. It says, but, is it coming on the screen? Technology, I tell you. Should work, but hey. So let's use the negative, let's change the negative in the verse to positive. Preaching is not in vain, faith is not in vain. Now, this is what we're going to do. Those 6 longing we have, I find them in those verses, from verse 12 to verse 20. If Christ did not raise from the dead, we would not have been forgiven. But since Christ have raised from the dead, I've been forgiven. So therefore, God is not holding your sins against you. What should you do? Don't hold your past against you either. And let me tell you this. Stop holding people's past against them. That's not the gospel. When Jesus looks at you, he doesn't look your past. He doesn't see your past. You know, from verse 17, instead of saying negatively that we are not still under our sin, we can say, oh, I've been forgiven. Because Christ have been raised from the dead, my basic need, I tell you, everybody who we all love forgiveness. Don't you love when people forgive you? Oh, yeah. That's a basic need. That's a basic longing. But do we forgive others? I'm like, Jesus is really smart. Of course he is. He's like, well, yeah, I've paid the price for you to be forgiven, but the key to open the door, I call it you forgive others. So if you don't forgive other people's trespassing, God is not forgiving you. Not like, it's not because he doesn't want to forgive. He wants to forgive. But the key for you to open his forgiveness or for you to start enjoying his forgiveness is for you to forgive. So therefore, what do I do? Oh, I got to forgive. That's why I said I got to forgive. Now, I understand that forgiveness is not forgetfulness. Forgive, that's the word, right? Because we don't forget. But when I forgive, I give. When I forgive, I give the person a blank sheet of paper. Wow. So even when I remember it, I don't repeat it. This is the power of the gospel. When we want to go back there, stop it. Everything we do in life, a lot of time when it comes to what they call management of life relationship based on forgiveness. If you can't forgive, you'll be very poor in relationship. You know what's going to happen? When you don't forgive, you carry bitterness. Bitterness causes you to be hard. And when you're hard, you close yourself. You don't trust anybody. Of course, the Bible says don't trust anybody. But you should always love everybody. And you should trust those that have proven themselves trustworthy. Because we do have people that are trustworthy in our lives, right? You know, it's like, well, I don't trust anybody. I mean, that's a lie. I mean, if I say I don't trust anybody, then, I mean, my relationship with you has no foundation. Because if you have proven yourself trustworthy, until you break that trust, I should trust you. Amen? So forgiveness, I read from Romans chapter 4, 25, it says, he was hanged over to death on account of our transgression, and he was raised on our account of justification. So because of Christ, what Christ did for you on the cross, you've been, I like this word, acquittal. You've been justified. Acquittal? Acquittal. Acquittal? Oh, acquitted. Oh, okay. I'm still learning English, okay? But at least I had it in there. You've been acquitted. You've been justified. So when you walk in God's house, that's why you should never come in Father's house ashamed. There's no shame in God's house. And I pray the same thing every day I walk in this place. I say, God, let this be your house. Let this be a place when people come, they feel the acquitted. Help me. The justification. They feel acquitted. They feel accepted. They feel honored. They feel loved. They feel forgiven. Jesus paid the price, so we, our first longing, which is forgiveness, could be fulfilled. You know, every one of us here in this room this morning needs forgiveness deep inside of you. If someone says, well, I don't forgive you. If you have something with somebody and you go and, you know, I say, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, I don't care. I'll never forgive you. You know, sometimes you could be acting tough. Well, I don't care. But we all long for forgiveness. There's nothing like feeling forgiven. This morning, let me tell you, release your past against you. Jesus is forgiving you. He's extending forgiveness. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know what your understanding about God. But this morning, let me remind you again that he gave his only son so you could be justified, so you could be forgiven. You know, both the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are necessary for forgiveness. That's why we can be forgiven. I told you this, I'm going to repeat it. Don't hold your sin against you. Stop holding people's sin against them. Stop, and we do it well in our judgmental mindset. We want to judge people. We want to judge them according to what they look like, what they smell like, what they drive, where they live. Stop it! Jesus paid the price so everyone could be welcomed. We all long for forgiveness, so let's extend it. That's why, watch your mouth. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Be careful. A wise person, it says in Proverbs, a wise person repeat what they want to say 7 times in their mind. Or they ask themselves, is it going to edify? Is it going to build? What am I going to say? Or is it going to cause strife, division? Wisdom. It's all wisdom. You know, the proof of justification by faith alone in Abraham's case led Paul back to the foundation of justification in the work of Christ. Remember, gift number one of the resurrection. We've been forgiven. Another gift I really love from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. instead of saying negatively that our faith is in vain, we can say positively that because of the resurrection, our faith is well-founded. I'll put it more personal. Because of the resurrection of Christ, there might be someone who can really trust God right now. Here. Maybe you're dealing with the fact, man, can I really trust this God? Can I really trust God? And let me tell you this, he's the only one that won't fail you. Can I have a witness? God is the only one that will never fail you. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, it says, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave me himself. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Come on now. If righteousness comes to following a bunch of laws, then we're not in Christ. You see how the word of God just blew the box of religion? That makes us think we got to do this, don't eat that, don't wear this, don't act like that. You remember back in the days? You remember back way, 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 way back in the days, there are certain ways people used to act or used to dress, and then that automatically associate them with church. That's religion. That's why when Christ sets someone free in the inside, the Spirit of God would tell you what to do. Even as if we're free, everybody's free to wear whatever they want. But I tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit might not give you the permission to color your head red. It's personal conviction, right? You might even feel like, you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't give you the freedom to wear your big gold chain. And other people, they're free to wear it. But don't make a doctrine out of it. Are you with me? We make a doctrine out of it. You know, just like Paul in the 1 Corinthians when he told the ladies, come on, ladies, use your hair. Make sure you cover your head. But they take, other religion take that verse out of context and used to, I don't know if they still do that, cause people to, you know, when you come to church, lady, you got to have a head covering. Completely taking it out of context. I don't have time to go there. I know some of you are like, what is he talking about? Go research it. That was a rabbit trail. I don't want to open it up. You know, another thing I find in the verse that fulfill our longing, Paul says in verse 15, instead of saying negatively that the apostle are not false witness about God's work, we can say positively that because of the resurrection, what the apostle or what I'm preaching here today is the truth. Now I took some time to really think about this today, this week. Truth. Man, truth. What is truth? Guys, we live in a society where everybody is trying to define truth. And I know that can be, some people say, well, that can be very dangerous when you try to have a debate about truth. What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm going to quick open this window and quick close it too. I mean, I know there are smart people out there. But you tell me someone that has done crazy studies, years of studies, and you ask them what a woman is, I don't have any problem with that, the she has been accepted. The new judge, Supreme Court. What's a woman? You mean you don't know what a woman is? What's a tree? You don't know what a tree is? So according to some people's truth, they might start defining a tree as a mic stand. Guys, I'm here today to present you a tree. This is, as a matter of fact, a tree. You know, you did not know this, okay? But this is a tree, okay? This is the truth. That's a tree. You know why it's a tree? And then I got to come up with a bunch of stuff to convince you it's a tree. And anybody that doesn't believe or doesn't accept this is a tree, I'm going to, what's the word? I'm going to, what's the word? What they do? Censor you. What's cancel you? What's your truth? We live in a society who doesn't want to accept the truth. Do you know it takes backbones to be a kingdom Christian? Do you know it takes the Holy Spirit? It takes boldness from the Holy Spirit to be at work and be like, I'm a Jesus follower. You're not a Jesus freak. You're not a religious person. You're not somebody that's condemning people. That's, you know, one of the reasons also the world cannot accept followers of Christ, so-called Christians. It's because our actions doesn't match the talk. What did Lee said Friday? You know, we talkie-talkie-talkie a lot. Christian talkie-talkie a lot. That's from Dr. Lee Friday. But then we forgot to walkie-walkie-walkie. God wants us to be a walkie-talkie. All credit to Dr. Lee, okay? That was so good Friday. It was long, but it was great. It was good. So God wants us to walk this. Oh, I pray that the Lord will continue to walk our world. The Holy Spirit. We would be filled with the Holy Spirit so we continue to live by the truth. This is the truth. This is my standard. This is the foundation of God's church. This is the foundation of my life. It takes a lot of courage. I tell you, it takes a rare person right now. Today, it takes a lot of guts and independency to say, for example, in high school health class, that premarital sex is wrong. Not just those who think about it. It takes a lot of guts to tell your friend. You know, if you have a boyfriend, of course, you're going to have all your life after you get married to be doing that stuff. But right now, just focus. Do not wake up love before it's due time. You know, focus on your study. And if you really love each other, just wait. You know, wait. Have an expectation for the honeymoon. No, there's something about the honeymoon when it's like you're going to do a discover. There's something when it's good for the girl, it's good for the guy. There's something. It takes guts. And I'm not going to be a preacher that doesn't have guts. I preach the word. I preach the truth. You take it or you live it. You know, the more you try to align with the truth of the kingdom, the less adorable you're going to be. The more you're going to try to appease. Oh, yeah, God is love. The sun's shining. You know, God loves everyone. But do you know also God is a devouring fire? He's a holy God. He calls us for holiness, to holiness. It takes a Christian with boldness to tell people, lying is wrong. And not just say it, but to confront your friend. To say, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be living a lie. You shouldn't be lying. Not condemning, understand? It takes guts to tell your friends or people you know to tell them that cheating is wrong. Adultery or being a hypocrite is wrong. Or being racist. Oh my goodness. You know, I thank God for he created me black. I love my color. But you know, not all white people are racist. Not all black people are racist. It takes a lot of courage. You're like, man, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, but you know racism is sin too. It's because of the evil in men's heart that creates that separation. So we see, oh, I'm better than this. No one is better than no one. We all bleed red. And when you die, When we're dead, we all look alike. Oh, yeah. Our bones, we all have the same bones. You know? Some of us might have more teeth than others. You know? Some of us might be a bit taller, shorter. But we all look alike. Oh, my goodness. Let's not talk about homosexuality. It takes a lot of guts to tell someone, hey, that style of living, lifestyle is not right. See, the resurrection gives us the truth. The resurrection of Christ gives us the truth. That's why I'm excited about today, to celebrate the resurrection of the truth of Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one else. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So therefore, anyone remaining in Jesus will remain in the way, in the truth, in the life. That's why I encourage you to remain in Christ. Because as this world is going crazy, getting weirder and weirder, it's going to be a lot harder. There's going to be a time, and this is not just me prophesying, I'm just repeating God's word. There's going to be a time where, I mean, might even be in, also in America, where some Christian will be beaten for the truth. Now it's not happening in this country. But do you know it's happening over the world in certain place right now? Thank God we have the freedom to be here today and celebrate Easter. But you know, there are places in this country, in the world, people are not able to celebrate Easter. And finally, brothers and sisters, the greatest news. What is the greatest news? The greatest news is this. The greatest news in all the world is that God and His Son are most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in them. Would you satisfy yourself in Christ? Today, as you go home, you spend time with your family or whatever else you do, people talking about Easter, Resurrection Sunday, will you? And I like it. I think this is the message. It says, but God put His love on the line for us by offering His Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever of Him to Him. Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. If, when we are at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of His Son, now we are at our best. Just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of His resurrection life. Now that we have actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to simply say it is in plodging prose. We sing and shout. I don't know when you read the word what you hear, but I love this. We sing and shout our praises to God through Jesus, our Messiah. You know, and this is what we just read here. While we were still sinners, God loved us. Before we even did anything to be lovable, and we're not lovable. Okay? Let's be honest. Men, we have a tendency to be hypocrites. But God loves you anyway. He loves me anyway. And that's the message of hope. You know, He gives us forgiveness and glorifies Jesus as the whole sufficient forgiver. He gives us a friend to count on and glorify Jesus as utterly reliable, we can rely on Jesus. So the gift of resurrection this morning, will you receive it? I don't know where you are in your walk with God, and I know some of you guys are visiting us. Listen, my prayer this morning is that you know Christ. And if you're here, if you're watching online, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I invite you, let him in. If you love Christ, love him more. Love him more. Love him more. Open your heart more for him. If you're struggling with, you know, is he loving you? Let me tell you this today. He does. Or how do you experience his love? You got to yield. Yield your life to him. Yield your life to him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for your word. Lord, thank you for the gifts of resurrection. Thank you for the gifts of forgiveness. Thank you for the gifts of salvation. Thank you for the power that raised Christ from the dead that gives us a purpose. Lord, this morning, we accept your word. And as we go today, I pray that your presence would continue to make these words come alive in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.